You know, for years, the Jerry Lewis Telethon was broadcasted to millions of people. I'm sure some of you watched it at one time or another. Of course, it went on through the night. You know, most of us probably didn't stay awake that long. But over $60 million annually were raised to help little children who suffered from debilitating illnesses. You know, much can be done out of love for others, but many of us who are people of faith will have moments of reluctance when it comes to helping others through benevolent giving. I'm sure some of us have been burned before by people asking for help, for money, or whatever it is, and churches get hit all the time by people. If I could imagine, I don't even know through the years how many people have come to church and asked for money. Have I received one thank you note or response back? Not one. They want the money, and that's all that. And I don't want to judge them, but that's what happens, it seems like. But does that mean we should quit giving? No, it doesn't. Yes, we do it because of our faith and our love, and we should take it that way. But it does still hurt us when we do know that some people are out for the wrong reason when they ask for help. But God does not judge others as we do, and thank goodness that God doesn't judge us the way we do others. Remember God's admonishment of Samuel about choosing a king for Israel? I preached on that a couple of months ago. God told Samuel, don't look on the outside. You remember sons of Jesse were paraded before Samuel, and he was about ready to pick one of them as king, and that's when God told him, no, no, no. You are to pick one that I choose, not one that because he's handsome or good looking. And so what happened? He went through the sons of Jesse, and turned out the one that was chosen by God was a shepherd boy, men feeding the sheep outside. And it was David, as we know. So sometimes God already has somebody picked out, maybe all the time, but we jump the gun on that. God does look on the inside when we tend to look on the outside. Mark tells us this woman who encountered Christ was a Gentile, not a Jew. She was not one of God's chosen people, nor a daughter of Abraham. Jews called Gentiles dogs. And that was very insulting. Now you think, well, how could anybody call somebody a dog? They're so lovable. You have to remember, in those days, there were a lot of wild dogs circulating around. And they had rabies, and they were not domesticated like they are today. So those of us who have dogs today, don't go home and insult your dog, because they're not the same type of critters that they were in the AD first century. So remember that. But as said earlier, this woman had a daughter who was sick. In fact, the scripture refers to it as demonic possession. This woman was not going to let cultural or religious bigotry get in her way. She was determined, and she had gumption, and she was not going to be stopped by anyone. You know, living on the border with Galilee, she was probably very well acquainted with the Jewish religion. Incidentally, this frontier area is where fighting occurs to this day among the Jews and the Arabs, Israeli and the Arabs. But in defense of Christ, he never called this woman a dog. It was a prejudicial statement that Jews used against foreigners, as I said, and evidently the woman assumed that Christ was like all the rest. But how wrong was her assumption? We relegate some people to second-class status because we do not give them the time of day, and that's sad in many ways. Christ was often confronted by the self-righteous who thought that they were superior or better because of their ethnicity or religion. And we could take that a step further today, by professions or whatever it may be. There are some people that will always try to put others in their place because they don't feel like they live up to their interpretation of what it means in their social class. So we have that today. We don't need to just forget about this section of Scripture because it happens, and it can happen to the best of us. If pride is the central foundation for our faith, then something terribly wrong has happened. How do we make a positive impact upon a confused and chaotic society? God's grace is working now while we worship here, but God's grace is also working down the street at the public housing project where residents may not have a clue of what grace is in their lives. What God accomplishes in this world is through a divine invention called the church. We can never limit God on His methods of reaching out to people via the Holy Spirit. Remember, sometimes we put God in a box, we put the Holy Spirit in a box, and the church in a box. We must remember God can work outside the box, and the Holy Spirit can too. You may find the Holy Spirit working far better than you could have ever imagined, working in our, whatever it is, your neighbors or friends or maybe just people that you may encounter out there in our world today. So we can never limit God. And as people of faith who encounter an unjust world, it's only through love, faith, and action that we serve to make it a better place. Before she met God, this Syrophoenician woman, and by the way, Syrophoenicians were Greeks. They were from a Greek background. You must remember the Roman Empire, it was so big and large, there were colonies of people who immigrated from one section of the empire to the other. And in north of Palestine, there was a substantial proportion of Greeks in there. It's like today we see down in Texas, there's what they call Texas Germans. And they speak a German that is a little bit antiquated, but they're down in south central Texas. There are places elsewhere in the United States where they may speak a foreign language because they have kept it up through the years. There's a group in Germany called the Sorbians. They're Slavs. They were never absorbed by the Germans, yet they speak a Slavic language related to Polish. So you'll see that throughout the world that there are groups scattered all over. There's Germans in Brazil still speak German in a dialect that's no longer even spoken in Germany. They came from an area where the Pomeranian dog is, from Pomerania, by the way. So a lot of things were happening here. And so this woman who was Greek, she never knew her worthiness. The important concern was that her daughter required healing. The challenge facing herself and her daughter was, could Christ change their lives for the better? And from the story, we know He did. The question for us, for those of us who claim to follow Christ, is, do we know this as well? And that's an interesting question. Biblical scholar and preacher, the late Dr. Fred Craddock, a noted disciples of Christ theologian and preacher, recalled the story of a missionary who served in India. But due to World War II, he was not able to return to the States for furlough. After the war ended, the mission board sent money for his passage home. The missionary ship docked at a port where he discovered hundreds and hundreds of Jews who were stranded with no place to go. These Jews were living in attics, basements, and warehouses. It happened to be Christmas, and Christmas morning, that is, when this missionary visited one of those tenements where dozens of Jews were residing. He walked in and yelled, "Merry Christmas!" And the people looked at him like he was crazy, and they shouted, "We're Jews!" The missionary said, "I know that. And what would you like for Christmas?" In utter amazement, those Jews responded, "Why, we'd like delicious pastries like the ones we used to eat in Berlin." The missionary went out and used the money for his book, the passage home to the United States instead. And he purchased those pastries. And of course, then he had to send a telegram to headquarters requesting more money to book his passage back to the States. Well, you know, as might be expected, you know what happened? His superiors wired him and asked what had happened to the money that they had sent him and he had already received. He wired that he had used it to buy Christmas pastries for Jewish refugees. The mission board superiors cabled back, "Well, why did you do that? They don't even believe in Christ." The missionary wired back, "Yes, they don't believe, but I do." God's mission is for us to share God's compassion and grace with all to whom we encounter. You may not even have to open your mouth. It is the way you live. It's the way you walk. It's just the way you may talk or whatever it is. Now, when can that happen? It can happen anytime. It could happen when you go out after church. You may go get some lunch. You may encounter a complete stranger. Or you may tomorrow, wherever it is, it may be in the supermarket, the laundromat, or whatever it is. Sometimes we will encounter people when we have not probed them to when we've not even probed them to allow them to enter into our lives. And a lot of times when we do have people to come into our lives, we'll say, "Oh no, it's happening again," or I really don't want to be bothered. But somehow, some way, they end up bothering us somehow. You just think about that this week, that you will get something happen, and it may require you to smile. It may require you to say something kind to someone and possibly cost you some money. Who knows? But a lot of times we have our faith, but we need sometimes to put a little action into that faith and put feet on those prayers that we utter up every day to God. So having faith is a very responsible task. And so as people of faith, whatever we do, we must remember we're doing it for the glory of God. Yeah, we may be tired, we may be exhausted, but guess what? God will be pleased with whatever our accomplishments are. You know, those are the kind of Christians that God is truly looking for today. That may be beyond our comprehension and belief, but it's not beyond God's comprehension and belief. Think about that and let us pray. Lord, sometimes we're not for sure exactly what to do, but we ask out of faith, help us in our stupidity that we may do what is pleasing to you. Yes, sometimes we may encounter others who need our help, and help us, O Lord, have the strength and encouragement to do us. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts, for you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, but you never forsake those who boast in you. We ask this, O Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.